everyone. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast. We have another exciting guest tonight, but I have some announcements to make. First of all, I know some of you are wondering where I live. I live near Savannah, and the hurricane is all in the vicinity, so I wanted to let everybody know that I'm okay. We're hoping it doesn't come our way. So if you look on the map and you see Savannah, Georgia, just look above it into South Carolina. I'm in a little city called Bluffton. I'm right above it, so whatever they get, I would get. Well, hopefully it doesn't go south, but I'm okay. I've made all the plans to take my PC and my monitors and my cat and all of that, so we're all good to go, but I don't want anybody to worry. I'm waiting for the guests to arrive, but nonetheless, you know I can talk and say all kinds of neat things. But also today we are going to, our stars is 7 years old, and a long road, took a year and a half to develop it, but today is its anniversary. So I'm going to have a contest, an anniversary kind of contest kind of thing, and it's going to be the details I'll announce later in the show, maybe halfway. We'll see how much my guest is talking, and I'll only interrupt her at the proper time, you know me. But I also want to tell everybody that if for some reason you need to contact me, you can always reach me at stars, S-T-A-R-Z like in zebra, C-A-S-T like in Tom, at AOL.com. So that's starscast at AOL.com. It's easy to remember, or you can go on the STARS site and just click on contact us, and there's two ways to get a hold of me. But the starscast at AOL.com goes directly to me. And I know sometimes people say, well, I want to ask you something, but I don't know how to reach you. But that's the fastest way. That's the best way. You know, my server mail is like thousands, and I have to sift through all of that. But anyways, the guest tonight is going to be Stefania Magnusson. I don't even know how to pronounce her last name, but I will find out when she comes on. A little bit about her. She was born in Romania. She has a beautiful website. She created a foundation. So many good things that she has done, but we're going to let her talk about it. And I'm thinking that she's going to have this really nice Romanian accent. Like our guest last week, she called me Natalia, she said. I love it when people say my name and they have their little accents and stuff. So we're going to wait for that. And I've got Candy in the chat room, so you can always go to the show page. That's starspsychics.com/starscast. And you just click on the show page, and it'll tell you how to connect. And Candy's in there waiting. And, she developed this contest, I have to say, it's an anniversary contest. So it's going to be good. I'll tell you a little bit more about it later on. You're all wondering, well, what is she going to do? Well, you never know with Natalie, right? Just never know. Lots of things happening. Of course, you know, we've got this storm. I guess I'll talk about that a little bit. It's going to be really horrendous for a lot of people above me, north of me. And I sent a note out to my staff today, and they're all sending me emails. And please let us know. Contacting me on Facebook. You can always reach me there. But it's scary. We've got all these systems coming together, and the whole thing of it is that the water is not dispersing. It's building up, and it's going slow over land. And, you know, I know all about that kind of stuff because I love to read about things like that, you know, the weather and all kinds of things. And also, I'm going to talk about what else I do since I'm waiting for Stefania to call in. But I love animals, as everybody knows, and I've been reading all about elephants and giraffes, which are my favorite, and lions, and it's unreal. Did you know that an elephant standing, okay, if he is in danger, he can let all the others know. He sends out a vibration from his feet, and it goes out 6 miles. I didn't know that until I read it. Can you imagine that? I mean, they are just so gorgeous. All those animals are so gorgeous. I follow all of those groups on Instagram because I love them so much. And my desire and my dream is to go to Africa one day, and I'm hoping. And, of course, I've got Candy sitting 5 blocks from the ocean in Myrtle Beach. Now, she needs to be watching, and she's listening. She needs to be watching the weather because I have no idea when it's going to happen. And I keep telling her, I keep in contact with her all the time and, you know, to see what she's up to and all of that. But, oh, I wish you guys would call in. You can call in and ask me questions at 347-838-9736. And I will see you on my dashboard and I'll say, aha, this is Natalie. How can I help you? So anybody can call. It would be really nice if somebody would call me. Candy could call me, actually, even though she's in the chat room. She says, wow, that's so amazing. She must have heard me say about the elephant. I had no idea. And they have the second best memory out of all the animals. But I can tell you about lions because I have a little miniature one here in my house, and his name is Muji. And I think, you know, I've told you about him before. He's hilarious. You know, if I'm on the phone walking around, he's looking at me like, well, don't you see me? Don't you see me? And so, and then he'll actually grab me, like, he doesn't hurt me, but he kind of grabs me, and then he takes off running, like, yes, I'm here, I want you to notice me. But he is like a male, like a lion, like the male, which is the lion, not the lioness, in that he is the boss. He'll let you come in, and it's like he says, don't take your shoes off, you're not staying long. This is my mom, and don't you forget it. And don't be wearing a hat when you walk in. I don't know. Maybe it was just my son, but now he's really good with my son. But he's very protective of me. Isn't that unreal? But he's a big cat. He's real tall, and he's called a Maine Coon, so he's really large. And it looks like I got something from my publicist about Stefania. Let's hope she can come on. You're going to have to listen to me all hour. Oh, dear. I'm going to make sure people call in. I have to call my son. Call me in and ask me a question. But you can call in at 347-838-9736, and you'll reach Natalie, and I can tell you all about everything that I do and what I'm doing. We have a lot of good things coming up for STARS. Mystic Living Today we're changing the classifieds over a little bit, and I got all these contacts for all of these authors to come through. You know, they've all written all these beautiful books. There was a man that had communication with angels, but he was a little nervous about coming on the air. Maybe I can talk him into it later down, you know, later on down the road, like maybe around the holidays. His book is beautiful, so I would really like to get him on. He has a lot to share. And then there's somebody else. You see, I have everything to talk about, don't I? Listen to me. There's another one. She does nameology. She'll take your first name, and she'll tell you exactly what it means. And so I made a contact with her, so I'm waiting to hear back from her. Just so many things out there, and you don't even realize that all these people that are so talented, and it's totally unreal. And, well, I haven't gotten another message from my publicist, not my publicist, but Stefania's, but she's out in Los Angeles also. I sent her a text. Help. Yeah, help. Well, you know, and Mystic Living Today, you can go see that at mysticlivingtoday.com. And, of course, my site is starswithaz.psychics.com. And that's the one that's 7 years old today. That took a really long time to develop. Actually, it was probably close to 2 years. And it looked a little bit different than it does right now because we refreshed it about, maybe 3 years ago, something like that. We made it a little different. We changed up the pictures and everything. And added the horoscope, and we're going to change it again. We're going to have a calendar on there, and I'm going to have featured readers there. I'm going to rotate them, like maybe every couple of weeks, and then I'll put them in the magazine, in my e-zine. Now, the e-zine, of course, many of you know, it's 19 years old. Can you imagine? Actually, I think it's going to be 20 years old. Maybe it's 20. No, let me see. We started it in, let me get out my little calculator. I'm not really... Since I have to talk the whole show, you know, I have to think of all these things. It is 19 years old. Started it in the summer of 1999. A bunch of us got together on the floor in my house drinking margaritas and laughing. And somebody said, Natalie, you need to do an e-zine. You see how they designate things to me? Natalie, you need to do this. You need to do this. So I end up doing it. Okay, I'll do it. But this has developed into something so big. If you would have told me this 19 years ago, I would have said, nah, it's just going to be this little thing, just a few little articles, and that's how it started off. But then word got around, and I had one author that was in the very beginning with me, and he wrote for it, and then we kind of lost touch. But he told me, he called me one time, and he told me, he said, you know, he said, I don't know anybody but you that started an e-zine like you did. I said, really? I said, you make it sound like it's something. And he said, but think about it. How many people can do what you did? And I never thought of it that way. I just, you know, I love to present everybody. And if you have an article or a poem, Candy's already got the, you know, she puts the announcements out that you can send it to me. You can send it to that starscast@aol.com if you want. And I'll be happy to put stuff in. I always look for an image. Now, I don't see anything more from Stefania, so something could have happened. Now, you know things do happen. But she's out in California. I don't think she's in Los Angeles, so I don't think there's anything going on there. But maybe I'll ask Candy to call in. Maybe she can talk to me a little bit. She's sending me all kinds of texts in there. You should go to the chat room. You can always get a mini reading there. She's there. She would love to do it for you. And then, of course, at some point in time, we're going to run this anniversary contest thing. And you'll be interested in doing that. And let's see, what else can I talk about? You know, you're probably thinking, I wonder, is she nervous about this weather? I'm really not. You know, we left a couple of years ago, and we were pulling away, and I said to my son, the houses are going to be okay. My house, my neighbor's house, and his house. And he said, why? How do you know that? I said, I don't know. I just pulling away and looking at it, I have that feeling. Well, do you know, and this is the truth, that all the houses across the street flooded out, the one next door flooded, the lady on my other side, her house was good, my house was good, and my son's house was good, who lives in a different sub. I just had that good feeling. Now, what do I feel about this? Well, I'm going to do a power grid, and I don't know if you know what a power grid is. A power grid is you, if you want to block something or if you want to push something away, like I'll print out the United States and I'll take the East Coast and I'll put a line. I don't know if I'll use a black line, black, red, I don't know. And I'll put a line to where the hurricane is going. And then what I do is I put horizontal lines, lots of them, from that that line that I've drawn, across, you know, down the states, I do it horizontal. That one I probably would do black because I want to stop it. Then what I do is I take the line that goes along that I originally put down, and I do another one over these little horizontal lines, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one until I'm out into the ocean. And I didn't do that 2 years ago. But I learned about this when I first started my first site, planetstars.com, which you can go there. Lots of stuff there. We have a bulletin board that you can, you know, sign up for, and you can leave little notes and present topics. Candy, Stars Priestess Candy Ranson, you know, runs over there. She doesn't really run over there, but, you know, she goes there. It's really nice. The magazine, you can have access to the magazine there. Everything you can have access to. Anyways, when I first started planetstars.com, there was a girl, a woman that worked for me, and she told me, she said, I'm going to do a grid. Well, I didn't know what a grid was. Now, this was back in 1998, and she told me about it, and I said, well, it can only work if the person who's doing it has that kind of energy, the ability to focus in on something, and, well, I'm going to try to stop. I'm going to actually try to push it back. I can't stop it from going the way it's going, but I can hold it up. I'm going to try to hold it up because it's already got momentum. But if I would have thought about doing it ahead of time, but I really didn't know that it was going to do this. Anyways, I'm going to give it a whirl because I have a lot of energy, and I send it out to certain people, and hopefully they receive it. But I'm going to do that. And, oh, I know what else I can tell everybody about my granddaughter. You know, I was writing a fairy tale, and she wanted to use some of it for her ELA class that she has in high school. She said, you think I could use some of this or use it? I said, well, yeah, sure. She said, I'll put your name on it, and I'll put my name on it. Good. Well, she changed it up a little bit, made it a little bit more magical, if you will, kind of, because it is a very magical fairy tale. It's like, that's why I always say what I say at the end of the show, believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. That's why I do that. But the story is based upon a couple who marry and go to Africa. I mean, I have it all in my head. I just have to sit down and have the time. And I know people are saying, why don't you make the time to do this? I even know what the cover's going to look like. So, and I even know who I'm going to ask to do it. So I've got it all lined up. I've just got to put it all together. It won't be a big, thick book because, you know, fairy tales, it's not going to be like Cinderella or any of those. But it's going to be special. And it's going to show people that anything is possible. And I'm saying this to somebody who is listening because she told me the very same thing. Anything is possible if you believe. Anything can happen if you believe. But you really have to believe with your whole heart and your whole soul that I believe. And you have to believe in something that you can look up to, like your God, Buddha, whatever it is, whomever it is, it doesn't matter. So long as you have that focus and so long as you do good, then that God has to be good, right? So the story, you know, has all kinds of animals in it. And this lady, of course, has this magical touch. She's just something very special. She seems to be able to do an awful lot. Is it about me? Yeah, it's about me. And it's about this very special man that she meets, actually that finds her. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but it has a really good ending. Now, Jada, my granddaughter, I shouldn't say her name, but Jada, she changed the story around so that it didn't have the same ending, but it had a beautiful ending. And you know what made me feel so good? That she chose my story, and she presented it. You know, they had to work it up and do a mapping, which I don't know if everybody knows what that is, but you have to designate who the characters are, you know, what the focus is, and all of that, and she presented it to her teacher, and her teacher approved it and really loved it. And her friends really loved it because she told them about it in the truck one day when she was going to school. My son takes her to school, and he said, I didn't know she was going to do this. He said they were all excited. Isn't that wonderful? That made me feel really, really good. That means it's got something. There is something to it. But I really wanted her input anyways, and I don't see Stefania coming, so I don't know how we're going to do this. Anyways, you can go to starpsychics.com. And first-time clients only, you get a special. You get 5 minutes plus 10 minutes for $22.50. That's a really good rate. So in essence, you get the 5 minutes for free. And then we have membership rates. If you want to join as a member, you get a break in that price. And then we have non-member rates. 30 minutes is $65. 20 minutes is $50. 10 minutes is 30, and then, of course, with your membership, you get a nice break. 10 minutes is 24, 20 minutes is 42, and 30 minutes is 50. Now, I have a lot of clients on the site that were with me back in Planet Stars. Can you imagine that? Back in 1999, I opened up a room on America Online because I worked for them also. And we started doing free mini readings there, and that's how it all began online for me. I got my feet wet, and a lot of people really don't know the whole story about it. I mean, if somebody would have said I'd be doing all this, I would have told them they were nuts, because there's no way I could look that far in advance and say, well, I can do all of this, because it just doesn't work. Well, you try to look forward a little bit and say, well, okay, I'd like to do this by then, and this and this. But sometimes, you know, the steps just don't come like they're supposed to, so it takes a little bit longer. Now, I don't know, this might be her, so hold on a minute. Let me see. Hello?
Hello, Natalie?
Yes, is this Stefania?
This is Stefania.
Hello, how are you?
This has never happened to me in 40 interviews.
Oh,
I so
no,
apologize.
No, you've got to understand. Everything happens for a reason. I sent Dia an email. And she said, I sent her a text. I'm so worried. No, I've been talking for, 20 minutes.
Oh,
but anyway,
I so apologize, but I'm here.
No, no.
And I'm totally present.
And it's all good, right? It's all good. So just
yes.
Put that behind you. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Anyways, we're live on the air, and I'm going to tell Candy, well, Candy knows that we're here. She's the one that does all the marketing. And anyways, I want to ask you, because I've been talking about myself enough, of course. How do you pronounce your last name?
Magidson.
Magidson. Okay. All right,
yes.
Everybody, this is Stefania Magidson. You don't have an accent. Did you lose it?
Oh, yes, I do. If you listen to me for a little while, you will pick
okay,
it up.
Okay, I want you to say Natalie.
Natalie.
Okay, you say it pretty good. Lady last week said Natalie, but she was from Jamaica.
Uh-huh.
So cute.
Okay.
I loved it. I love the accents. Okay, you were born in Romania. And
correct.
In 1983, you came to the United States. Now, you know, normally we would talk about what you could say. I mean, this is your show. This is about you. And the listeners are, of course, hearing all of this. And I have your site up right now. I have the Blue Heron Foundation site up. And I have the image of your book and all about that. I've got all that good stuff. So start off, tell us a little bit how this began for you. Why did you come to the United States? I know everybody would like to come to the United States, but something must have nudged you, right?
Yes, well,
start at the beginning.
So I was born in 1968 in communist Romania, and very few people got to immigrate at that time. I think only about 200 or 300 families per year received the approval to do it, and we received it, so we left legally. I'm still a little confused of the exact reason why they let us go. We had a few reasons. My great-grandparents had lived in New York for 50 years, so even though they returned and they died in Romania after working in New York for their entire lives. So they had been American citizens, and my mother's sister at the time was living in the U.S. So maybe it was that, and maybe it was also we had a beautiful home, which the communist government confiscated it when we left. Let's just say that it was a very tough time to leave because back then, with Romania being communist, it was a one-way ticket. So if you received the approval to leave, chances were that you could
never go back.
Never return. And they took everything. They took our home. They confiscated our citizenship. And we left with 4 suitcases and $500. I also had an older sister. So the 4 of us left. And we arrived in Salt Lake City, Utah. So that was a very big and radical change, which every member...
That's the city of the Mormons, you know. That's where the Mormons, that's where the books are at, of everybody that was born, anybody. The books are there in Salt Lake City, Utah. Yeah, very famous place.
So everything was different, just being in another country, another language, a capitalistic society, so different than what I had known. So even though I was very young, I was only 15, I asked myself some very profound questions, such as, who am I beyond the language and the culture and the customs I knew and beyond the family I knew and the extended friends and the position in society I thought I had? And who am I even beyond the the mental paradigms that you grow up with and the thoughts and values and ideas you have. And so for me, it was a very rattling experience. And I think in the end, the answer that I came up with was that the only thing that hadn't changed in that whole big transition was my soul, my spirit. Like that was the only thing that I felt was intact. And the only thing that was transplanted to the U.S., really. And so my whole journey of adapting to America started from inside, from my spirit, I felt. And I sort of started building a bridge into my new country, and I did so very slowly and very tenuously. And I think I was lucky to come across some wonderful books, such as Joseph Campbell's Power of the Myth and a couple of books by Indian Swamis. And so little by little, I think I started on this spiritual journey, sort of informal spiritual journey. but which helped me immensely because I was very lost and felt very alone and very disoriented.
Tell me something. How did your parents adjust?
Everybody did a little different. My father also had a very hard time. He had a hard time learning the language. He had been sort of an only child, and even though it was communist Romania, he grew up somewhat privileged. So coming here and having to do labor, you know, manual work, and he missed his friends, missed his parents. And honestly, I remember him crying in the bedroom, which I had never remember my father crying before.
Oh, I can imagine. It was really hard for him. And you got to remember, he was older. He was established. And then he has to come
to a strange place. He
didn't
see like the language
in Romania.
Yeah. It's like us trying to imagine moving to Russia for good. Yeah.
Yeah.
My sister, on the other hand, she had a job, a boyfriend, and a car within 2 weeks, literally. And she was so happy in her new country. Like, no existential crisis for her whatsoever.
No, I guess not. Was she a lot older than you?
Just 2 years older. She was 17.
But you see what the path, your path was different than hers, totally.
So different. And then my mom, she's a hard worker, and she was happy because I would say for most women in communist countries, life was very hard. Men were a little more, I don't know, chauvinistic. And, you know, she worked very hard. She had a full-time job and did all the housework and everything. So she was happy here. I think she felt like, you know, she worked hard, but she could see sort of the fruit of her labor. And there were also things that were easier at home with the great washing and drying machines and whatnot.
she would have a great story to tell about what she went through. I can only imagine. I mean, we only know by what we've read, but to actually talk to somebody, you'd have to talk to some of the older people in the United States that were involved in it. Coming from another country had to have been really scary. Very scary.
Yes.
But
well, it's a little
your
different
parents,
now.
Your parents,
Yeah,
but your parents have known, Stefania, that this was what they had to do. You know what I'm saying?
I really think
there had
so.
To be.
I think,
maybe they knew.
It really looked, it looked very, you know, was very just trying to look toward the future in 1983. It looked like a lot of dead ends, you know, growing up there. Like you couldn't really manifest your potential. And honestly, looking back at my parents' generation, I think they were just so stifled and incapacitated by the system. Like almost nobody got to manifest their creative and professional and personal potential. It was just sad. It was considered a sacrifice generation, really.
Yeah, you were governed by the country, and that was it.
Yes.
And when you came to the United States, your parents, especially because you were young, but you were very mature. They must have thought, wow, I can do this, I can go do this, and I can go do this. It must have been wonderful for them, like birds out of a cage.
In a way, but it was also hard because don't forget they were now middle-aged and starting from zero and just learning the language and starting to try to translate their skills. And so it was both. It was freeing. You know, they always said that they came for us and to give us more opportunity, which it's exactly what happened. So just to continue with my story, the 10 years that followed for me, I really considered them to be I call them my crawling in the mud period, because I really got a taste of the humble pie in America. Even though it was a free country, it is a capitalistic country, very competitive, and you have to work very hard. And when you start from zero, you have a taste of what it's like at the very bottom of the pyramid. So, you know, my parents did not give me a dime from the time I was 16. So I worked nonstop, all the menial jobs. I've done them all. And, you know, I took a loan. I received a degree in public health from University of Utah. And after I worked for the Department of Health in Salt Lake City for a year, I thought, I really need to move to Los Angeles. You know how somehow everybody ends up here. I don't know how.
The city of angels. Yeah.
One more bus stop, and then there's the ocean. So you've got to stop. So
I
came here. Yeah. And within a short amount of time, the boss at my job told me about this program that resonated with me right away at University of Santa Monica, and they offered a master's in applied spiritual psychology. And just the moment I read about it, I felt so aligned with it, and I was accepted in the program. And it was 2 years where I immersed myself in the study of applied spiritual psychology. And to describe it briefly, I would say mainstream psychology really only focuses on the study of our behaviors and our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But spiritual psychology, I mean, the word in itself, if you look at the etymology of the word, psyche means spirit or soul, but it's not studied as part of the psychology we take in regular university classes. And
I bet you did really well with that.
Well, it was so beautiful. It was such a confirmation that you're not insane. I don't know how else to put it. When you see that there is a whole group of people who have dedicated their lives to the study of this subject, of the science, and to really delve deeply into the concepts and understanding what it's all about. And it was 2 years of revelations, and 2 years which really helped shape the filter through which I see the world and I perceive reality and through which I navigate the world. And I think it helped me make some very big decisions, in particular with regards to my to marriage, finding my partner in life, and ultimately my work, which, as you mentioned, Blue Heron Foundation, I ultimately started it in 2002 when our kids were still toddlers. But I was so thrilled and grateful to have two beautiful, healthy children that I really felt a calling to give back. And I went back to my hometown, and I visited the main orphanage there. There were about 200 kids who were cared for by, I don't know, overworked staff. And about three of them came into my arms and called me Mama. And what can I say? They had me at Mama. And came back, and I started this foundation. So, this has been my life work since then.
And, of course, you wrote a book.
Yes, so...
I have that in front of me. Yeah, okay, continue on. I'm into country and history, and I love to find out about people. That's why I like whoever I bring on to talk about how they got started. What did they do? Why did they do it? Because everybody's got a different story.
Everybody has
like
such
you.
A unique story.
They do,
part of my story, too, I feel like I've had three incarnations in one lifetime. The first 15 years in Romania, which were privileged to some degree, but they were in a communist country with a lot of limitations. And then the next 10 years, which were in America, but struggling on a very, very basic level and really tasting the humble pie of being on the bottom, social class and everything. And then through marriage, I was catapulted to the top of the pyramid. So all of a sudden, I had a financial and social platform that was beyond what I had ever imagined, and had to adjust to that again. And so I feel like in one lifetime, I had three very different lives. And all I can say from where I stand right now is that I'm very grateful for these very rich experiences. And I think they all informed exactly what I'm doing now, which is, I continue to cultivate my spiritual practice, And one of the most beautiful ways is through service, so through the foundation that I run. But jumping to the book, about 6 years ago, I was invited by a very respected Romanian-American journalist, novelist, poet. Her name is Carmen Firan. She knew me a little bit, and she was fascinated by the foundation that I run and my studies in spiritual psychology. And she invited me to write a magazine article. And it was for a Romanian literary magazine, for a more exclusive magazine, actually, for academia. But she thought she would have some great questions for me, and it would be a great venue. So we engaged in a dialogue, except that my answers were rather unconventional, and it took us into all sorts of territories, so that one article became two, and then they became four, and then there were so many people commenting on them and asking questions. So it became 13 articles published over a 13-month period in that literary magazine. And at the end she said, "Stefania, you know what? I think we have a book." So the book is called Searching for the White Magician, and the subtitle is Spiritual Psychology and the Manifestation of Destiny. And it has 13 chapters, and each chapter explores a different theme. They range from immigration and spiritual psychology to philanthropy and the manifestation of destiny. There's even a chapter on where we compare and differentiate feminism and femininity. It's basically a book that you can pick up and read any chapter because it stands on its own. And I sort of like that because I think it's it's an age where we have different interests, and if you just want to read 5 of the 13 chapters that seem interesting to you, you can do it, and they don't build. You don't have to read each one of them in order. But it's a very dynamic way of writing a book, I think, having a dialogue, because you can get contradicted, you can be asked to clarify things. It's spontaneous and deep and dynamic, I would say. And we received a lot of great feedback on the book. And then about 2 years ago, I was asked by an American publication to translate it because they wanted to publish it. And so I actually translated it myself, which was a very interesting and creative and process that took a lot of specific kind of discipline, but translating is fun. And so it came out in November of last year, and I did a lot of interviews, and I've shared a lot of the notions from the book with the wider public. I would say that the leitmotif in the book is everything that we discuss, even if sometimes there are some theory about, let's say, certain aspects of spirituality, I always come back to my personal experience and personal examples. So it's a book based on things that happened to me and ways in which I navigated life, sometimes,
in
hardship.
Which really makes it real to people. You have to understand that.
Yes.
Sometimes it's better to read something like that because it's based upon what somebody actually went through. And I'm looking, I have the PDF, and I get all the stuff, don't I? My poor computer. But, some of the questions, you talk about shamanism, who are some of your spiritual mentors. There's a lot of questions in here that were accompanied with the media for media questions. And so I'm gonna interrupt you, and I want to know something here. Who or what is the White Magician? What does that mean? Because that's the title, Searching for the White Magician.
Yeah, it's really our higher self. It is the part of us that lives outside of time and space and is connected to the subtle ebbs and flow of the universe, and the it's our higher self that guides us. And I always like to say white because every once in a while, I don't know, people think of, magic as maybe being, I don't know, witchcraft or something.
Dark.
And there's
yeah,
nothing
right. Well, yeah,
like
they don't realize
in
that
it.
There is a difference. Yeah.
Yeah. I've only ever worked with light. And I put it searching because I think we are continuously cultivating, continuously searching, continuously trying to polish. I remember a spiritual teacher once saying that everything that we state relating to spirituality is a lie. And what he really meant by that is that it's so hard, usually impossible to use words to describe something that doesn't belong to the world realm. So it's really always trying to describe inexactitudes, things that are not so exact that they can be put into verbal phrases. So we are continuously searching and continuously trying to define the undefinable. And so this is a dialogue about just trying to get a little closer to the truth, not really pretending that we found the Holy Grail, but attempting to get a little closer to the meaning of life and to what our experiences have meant to us along the way. So, that's who the White Magician is. It's really our higher self that lives beyond the senses and beyond time and space.
And that makes a lot of sense to me, and I'm sure it does to the listeners. The book itself has a picture of this. Well, this is how I see it. It's like this. She's childlike. She has these big eyes, and she's holding a balloon. She's got her holding onto a balloon that's with a string, and blue sky, tall grasses, and this beautiful dress. I mean, I look at it, and I almost see that it would be like a dress that would be with sparkles, this real pretty, feminine. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing, soft, flowing dress. Her hair is kind of like, it reminds me of a doll. That's what she reminds me of. So to me, that is a little girl who's very pure and is seeking out because her eyes are really big. And, of course, the colors are very, very easy to your eyes. I've never done this before, to tell you the truth, but this is what I was kept looking at and thinking, I've got to tell her what I'm seeing. And it's really very, very pretty. And when I go to get a book, and you're going to laugh, I look at the cover. If the cover doesn't draw me in or the title doesn't, I won't even look through it. I won't even fan it open to see if there's anything in there that I really want to read and, in depth at all. But this one I would pick up. I would pick up, it's because of her face. Now, who did the drawing of this? Who was the artist who did this? Where did this come from, the idea to have this young, childlike, and it really fits with the book, Stefania. It really does. How did this come to be?
Well, it's so funny because, who it is, it's my best girlfriend from childhood who did that painting. And when I published the Romanian version, I had a different cover, and I went to Romania for the launching of the book, and I invited her because we remained the closest of friends over all these years, and she said, I would like to come, Stefania, but I'm incapable, but I want to meet with you. So when we met, she confided in me. She had gained a lot of weight. She had some beyond-the-weight issues. She had some health issues. She was struggling an administrative job, and she was at a low point in her life. And I said, you have never, ever let me do anything for you, and I want to propose you this. Give your boss a month's notice, and I will support you for 6 months, and please go back to your passion, which is drawing and painting. And she actually did that, and So I did that for, that was my present to her, and she started to paint again after many, many, many years. And anyway, it's been about 5 years, and she is a beloved artist who has exhibition after exhibition now, and a large following, and she has many beautiful paintings, and she calls them her dolls. The faces of her paintings,
that's what I
the
said.
Faces
it looks
of
like
the
a doll.
Yeah, like a doll. They're all
yes.
very pure and ethereal
yes.
and a little removed from this world. And her name is
Yulia
Shchepel.
Right, their faces are white, but their eyes are set so that they're
yeah.
they're large, and she has a thin neck. I mean, if you go see the book, and you know, you could find it on the internet. That's exactly what she reminded me of, was her little doll, but a beautiful doll, not a scary
yeah.
one. And she's not scary.
Right.
So sometime, please tell her what I said.
I
if
will. Well, people comment
on
the cover of the book, because it's sort of haunting in a beautiful, ethereal way.
It is haunting, but it's beautiful. To me, it is. And, you know,
yeah.
to somebody else, they'd say, God, that looks weird. What kind of face is that? But not me at all. Oh, no. I was drawn to it right away. As soon as I got it in email and I saw it, nah, this is really beautiful. And whoever did it, I knew would be beautiful, too. And
well,
I didn't see it as
a
man drawing it. I saw it as a woman. This came from a
yeah.
woman who has some deep, she's very spiritual. And the love for what she does is right there on this book cover. So
yeah.
I don't need to kind of go crazy about her, but please tell her someday.
I'll pass
said
it
about
on, for sure. Yes.
Pass it on. So getting back to you, what about this film called The Omega Rose?
Oh, well, you know, I just, every
oh,
once in a while.
You know, I got everything. When I get media tips, I get it all. So you can't hide anything. Not from Dia, you can't. But anyways, if you want to talk about it, if you don't, that's okay, too.
Yeah, well, it's not all that much to say, except that, you know, my work is really philanthropy and spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, I overlap with the world of theater and film. In fact, I'm the chair of the Romanian committee for the Southeast European Film Festival here in Los Angeles. And so I overlap with the Romanian artists a lot. And about 20 years ago, I produced a play in Romania, which ended up getting the equivalent of the Tony Award. The main actor received that. And also six years ago, I met a young writer-director who I really believed in and was fascinated by his script called Omega Rose. And it's a post-apocalyptic film. And he's basically putting the final touches. He's been working on it for 4 years. I can't believe it. But it's a philosophical film, and it's a lot of questions about what the world could be like if we had an apocalypse tomorrow. So it's very sort of an artistic film, and I don't do this very often. I don't produce very often, but when something comes on my radar and it speaks to me, I'll put on one more hat, that of the producer.
Yeah, and there you go.
I'll jump
kinda
in.
Kind of like
it.
What I do. It's like layers. You just have more and more layers, and because you do something, and then it leads you to something else, and then to something else. But basically, you have to have started in the beginning somewhere to get to the second level, then the third, then the fourth. So obviously, when you came over here, I mean, this is what I'm hearing. Is that, first of all, you were very intelligent as a 15-year-old. You were so advanced. I don't know if you knew it or not, but you were. And you wanted to seek out. You wanted to, you know, look at the things in the world. I want to experience them. And your parents gave you this opportunity. Now, your sister is not into any kind of this work. I mean, she married and she's, a wife. And does she have any kind of abilities like you, like writing or drawing or anything?
Oh, but my sister and I are so different. She's very good at very different kind of things. She speaks truly fluently five languages. She's an entrepreneur. She has so much stamina for a business, and, you know, she's a tough lady who has a lot of employees, and she's divorced now, but she has a beautiful son. And we get along, and I would say she's done more work on herself during the past 5 years or so. For a long time, she wasn't interested, and, you know, she does it at her own pace, and she may be interested, you know, more like in yoga and some other things of that nature. But I adore her, and I really admire and appreciate the talents and gifts and the kind of curriculum she came into the world with, even if it's very different than mine. You know, I admire her. And she's always fun. She can always go to a new country, which she does all the time. And within hours, she has met half the people up and down the block and knows the mayor and what are the best parties in town.
Good.
And she's like that,
yeah.
Like Asia, Africa.
But you see, when she's got all these languages behind her, she's not afraid. I mean, she's going to find...
And personality,
I probably would get along with her because I love to talk, too. So, I mean, I spent like 20 minutes talking until we got together on the air, and I'm sitting there thinking, what am I going to say? Oh, well, you know, I can do it.
I'm so grateful.
I mean, really, when you do enough stuff, you just talk about what you do, and I explain about you. And so I'm looking at some of these other media questions that are here, but...
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to go into the shamanism or, I mean, you know, I really kind of like whoever comes on the air to take control of the show. I can add, I can find that there's going to be a question I want to ask you out of my own because I want to know, like, the, you know,
yes.
the cover of the book. I mean, that's not in your media questions at all.
It's what spoke to you.
It did.
I can
it
talk
did.
A little bit.
Immediately, and I... Yeah, it's really, Now, what's the mission of Blue Heron, your Blue Heron Foundation?
Yeah, that's exactly
what
I was going to add a little bit more. So initially, when I started out in 2002, we started out with programs for the very young orphans in Romania, for toddlers, and we hired additional caregivers to hold and cuddle babies. We built playgrounds and sports courts. We even did some programs for terminally ill children. But every time I would go back, I would meet with the heads of the orphanages and the heads of the child protective services, and I would ask, where are the biggest needs? Because I wanted to fill in the places that were not being addressed. And what I was hearing over and over was that somehow most of the kids would make it to 12th grade in their system. But then, because of limited financing and resources, they were being literally pushed into the street outside the system, I mean out of the system, and expected to become self-reliant adults who were contributing to society. But they were so unprepared. They didn't have any education. They didn't have life skills. And so I thought, I think this is what I want to do. I think I want to give these orphan and abandoned kids a chance to go to college. And so we developed this program starting in 2005. It's a very comprehensive college scholarship program that has a mentorship component. And basically we pay the tuition for the kids. We give them a monthly stipend. For some of them, we go even beyond and pay for various courses and laptops. And one of the most important things we do is we pair them up with mentors from their fields. So for young men, we have men, and for young girls, we have women. And then for doctors, medical students, we have doctors, and for engineers. We have engineer mentors and
right.
so on. And the students write a monthly journal, which the mentor reads and we read. And that's sort of the tool that that fuels the communication. And they usually talk even beyond the journal that is exchanged, and they talk on the phone via Skype. But a mentor really guides them, encourages them, gives them ideas. Sometimes they use their own, like, social resources to recommend them for a job or find volunteer work for them. So I've had the privilege over the years to witness, I think we've had close to 400 kids go through this program. So I've witnessed, you know, kids who grew up without parents, many of them abused, many of them who have come to us with deep scars. We even had a couple who were tied to the crib the first few years of their lives. One of those young men actually became a doctor. So I know that we've seen a lot of terrible images on TV, and yet I've also had this beautiful experience of seeing them receive a college education and transform over a period of 5 years while they are under our wing, and truly become, to some degree, healed and definitely a lot more empowered, educated, committed to not repeat the cycle of poverty and abandonment. And I continue to do this to this day, and it's been very rewarding, you know, for me, but for everybody involved, all the mentors, all the donors. What's unique about our foundation, too, is that I'm in the lucky position of being able to cover all administrative expenses. And so 100% of the money that people have donated over the years went directly to the students in the program. So this is pretty much what the program is about. And for those who have chosen a spiritual path in their lives, I would just like to reiterate how much through a service program such as this, but it doesn't have to be like it. It can be just being nice to your neighbor.
Right, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
There's one lady I did a few weeks ago that's in Baja. She's in Baja, California, and she brings in, she has an orphanage, orphanages actually, she's got several, and she supplies them. I mean, she has donations, and kind of like what you do, but you have the experience. You know what it was like to come from a country where you were kind of contained and then come over to America. So you can appreciate what these kids have gone through. You know, by your own experience, and they probably really look up to you. I would think that. Anybody that goes under your wing, like you said, all the ones that are there. You also have Nadia Komenich, that's one of your supporters, I see, because I'm on the site. But look what she did with her life, an Olympic gold medalist, right? So, you know, it shows them that you can do and be anything you want. And just think, if they did not have the guidance of this foundation, they would be stuck. They would not ever believe that a door could open for them and they could walk through it and see all of these things. Gosh, this is something I've dreamt about doing, and I can do it. You want to be a doctor? Okay, we'll help you. You want to be whatever, lawyer, teacher, whatever. We can help you. We can give you the start and guide you along the way. What a beautiful thing that you've done, and all of those who are on this foundation, because I know there's quite a few. You have a lot of success stories I see here. Everybody really needs to go and see this. I always push this a lot when it's groups like you, like I did for Marilyn Witt a few weeks ago. She has the orphanage, and I really feel that you need all the support you can get. And it's the blueheronfoundation.org. You're going to get a lot of information there. There's a lot of good stuff there. But I can tell by listening to you, I wouldn't even have to meet you, but I can tell that you would step over that line and help anybody if they had the desire, and you would know whether they would or not, or if they were just playing a game. You would step over, I call it a line, and you would extend yourself to help them. See, to me, that's a very beautiful person with a beautiful soul, and that's what you are.
Yeah, it's not easy, you know. sometimes you come to this country and a lot of the people in the community, they don't want to have anything to do with
diaspora of that country. I'm not from a background that's like that, but I saw it. I saw it growing up. That people, they think there's something wrong with you. But hopefully it's coming around to where everybody, I mean, you can, so they're from here, they're from there. Give them a chance. I give everybody a chance. I mean, I really do.
Yeah.
Because I'm here to support and to promote, and I really love what I do, and you really love what you do. So here they have these people. They have you and the others to go to. I just think it's wonderful. And I have others coming up in later weeks that are doing about the same kind of thing, and I don't seek them out. They kind of find me. But I just think it's a wonderful thing that you've done. I really, really do. But I don't want to. I don't want to end this yet. I want to do. Candy wants me to say something here. Hold on. Okay. I mentioned something before you got on the air about a contest because it is our 7th anniversary at STARS. The only reason I'm doing this is because we have until 9:30, and I want to make sure I get this in. We have until, you have until September, does she have something? Yeah, Tuesday, September 18th, and then we'll do the drawing finally after that. But what you need to do is go to the STARS site, STARZ, psychics.com, create an account, okay? And you have to make a minimum purchase because, we're going to have a drawing and you're going to win 15 minutes with Candy, STARS Priestess Candy Ransom. And this is just because it's our anniversary that we're doing this. We don't usually do this kind of thing. You do an email and you send it to starspsychics.com. You can find out. Just go to contact us. It's all there. And the subject line, you need to put 7th anniversary entry. And in the body of the email, you need to say, I enter. And I'll be taking them and I'll be passing them along to Candy, who's in our chat room right now. And I'm sure she's thrilled that I got to put all of this in, because you see what she does is she knows I'm really good at filling in. She handed this to me at 7:40, and I thought, oh my God, I got to go through all of this and figure it out. But I had time. See how the divine works. See how it's worked for you. I had the time because you were a little late. Worked out perfect. Perfect for me. Perfect for you.
Well, I'm so glad nobody panicked, and I'm
wasn't panicking because. The only thing I thought to myself, gosh, if I have to talk a whole hour, I don't think I can do that. I won't have a voice left. You know, on the day of my show, I really don't talk on the phone. I talk to my gal who does my copy work. I talk to her on Skype. But I really curtail my voice because you can hear it's getting a little raspy. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just who I am. It's just what I am. I've had it all checked out. I'm fine. But anyway, so that's the drawing, and I don't know if I've missed anything. I'm sure Candy's going to send me a little thing. No, I guess I did. I did a good job. Hey, good. Back to you, you lovely, lovely, lovely lady. I'm so glad Dia introduced us and recommended you to be on the show. How do you get your supporters? I mean, do they just come to you? Because you have quite a few of them.
Well, what I do is I make I host two events a year, one in Los Angeles, which I consider my turf, so to speak, and one in New York, where I go more regularly now because our older son studies there. He's at college at Tisch at NYU. So we have a two-hour salon every year, 1 hour for socializing, 1 hour where I present what's going on with our program. We invite a student on Skype for 10 minutes. I'm just very efficient at presenting everything and then asking people to support us for one more year. So we have, our goal is always to keep a minimum of 200 donors every year who commit a minimum of 500 a year, but we often have some generous donors who give a lot more. So it's really through this salon and through word of mouth. So at the salon, I always tell people to tell their friends. And We have Americans and the Romanian American diaspora, and that's really how I do it. I don't bug people all year long with a million emails and letters and fundraisers and races and musical events or whatever. It's just one time a year, $500, all the money goes to the kids, and that's sort of it. It's just sort of what works for us. So that's such a simple way. It's simple. I was inspired by another foundation who does it that way in Los Angeles, except they have bigger numbers because they attract a whole other level of women. But they have, that foundation has 220 women who each give 5,000, and they raise $1 million every year. So we raise about 200,000 every year, which I make go a really long way in Romania. But yeah, I'm always, you know, I'm just, my life is this organization, and sometimes people know about me before they even meet me because of the work and because they hear from other people. So if they are called to do it when they meet me, I think they are usually inspired by the work, and if it's something that they are called to do, they trust that the money goes, you know, where I say it goes, which I've been doing that for 16 years, so it always went to the kids.
Yeah, I think you've got a good success story, and I think you're pretty honest, and I don't think they have to worry about you at all. I'm looking at some other questions. Is there anything else you want to add? Oh, you talk about chakras, right? You do a lot of stuff. Oh, my goodness, look at what you do. This is awesome.
We have a lot going.
How do you keep up with it all? Now, I'm asking you, and people ask me the very same thing. How do you do what you do? And I say you do one thing, then you do the next thing, and you have calendars, and you have, you know, when you have to do this, and meet with your webmaster, meet with my gal Jackie, Candy. I mean, you just know. And pretty soon you don't even have to think about it, but you really have a lot going.
You know, I didn't realize how much I had going, I think, until this year when our second son went to college. And I really asked myself, how was I doing all that with kids and a big house and the foundation? And at one point I went back to school, just a lot of balls up in the air. And honestly, I'm grateful now that both kids are in college, because I feel that I can have a more graceful pace in my life, and I feel that maybe it should have been like this all this time, but I didn't have a choice, and I didn't know how not to do it. But what I would say, over the years, I learned something really important, because I spent a lot of time thinking about how to prioritize and organize my time. And during my time of meditation, of contemplation, I came up with this. My first priority is always God and my relationship with spirit, followed by just taking care of myself in terms of enough sleep and good nourishment and exercising and so on. Second, my husband and our children. Third, the foundation. Fourth, you know, extended family and friends and social life and so on. If I didn't keep this order, I realized that the whole boat can sink, because if I don't take care of myself, for example, just running on empty, taking care of others, or if I put the foundation before my own kids, it wasn't going to work. You know, the ship was going to sink. So I had to get very clear about my priorities, and also what I delegate, a lot of things I say no to. And some things just fall to the side. But I had to get very clear on these priorities, and they are still, to this day, they are in the same order, and they help me enormously. And that's probably some of the advice I have for the people out there, that it's very important to get clear of what comes first, second, and third for them, and, you know, keep them, you know,
make sure you see
their,
that order in front of you.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, because you can get them mixed up, and you can start going to something else on your list, and then you're going to pass up
maybe even some opportunities that will come your way that you didn't take time to look into. But, yeah, you've done an awful lot. If they go to your site, they're going to see. Now, do you get back to Romania a lot?
I go every summer for about 3 weeks. We do a summer camp for our students,
okay.
And that's really a marvelous time of coming together. We gather about 25 of them from Romania, and I forgot to mention, we also help students from the Republic of Moldova, which used to be part of Romania, but the Russians confiscated at the end of World War II. So it's a country on its own. It's the poorest country in Europe, has the highest rate of human trafficking, and everybody speaks Romanian, so we help students there as well. So anyway, we attract kids from all over Romania, all over Moldova, and we do a one-week summer camp, and it's really the highlight of, I think, everybody's year, team and students. It's just amazing, the activities that we do and the coming together. And we also, this is the time when we interview new students and meet with mentors in Romania. So it's a very rich time where we travel at various cities where we are active and do this summer camp. So I go there once a year. And
oh, I'm sure it's very beneficial.
Yeah.
And they probably
yeah.
look forward to you coming because they get to meet you. And I think that's important because you are really real. You're not just a name. You're real, and you go and you participate. And I think that's really important. Now, these kids, some of them are not really young, are they? I mean, some of them are like, what, in their teens, correct? Because they're doing studies.
Well, so really, we only help 18 to 25-year-olds. So they are young adults.
Okay.
You know, I call them youth,
okay.
young adults.
Okay.
It's during
yeah.
their college years.
Good. Well, that's good. That's a great time because,
yeah.
like, if you think about it here in the United States, that's when at 18, usually you're out of high school and you're off. And hopefully most of them go to college or a trade school, do something.
Yes.
And I always see my granddaughter's 14, but she's really smart and she's doing really well. But you know, you have to have guidance. You just really have to. You have to have somebody that you know you can a go-to person that can help you, like your mentors that you have for the students. They have
yes.
somebody that they can go to. Probably to ask anything that they really want, anything that's really important to them, and it just kind of molds them a nice way. They're starting off so nice. I mean, I don't even go there, but I really appreciate what you've done. I really do. You know, I'm just from the United States, not just, but
yeah.
I appreciate what you're doing, what you've done, because you came from. Wow, you know, a communist country, I can imagine the horror stories, and we have read about them, but when you hear it from somebody, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit real. It's real to you. And so, yeah, and to come and do all of this and be so successful, I mean, you're something for them to look up to, all the students that you have there. And anybody else that comes to speak, anybody, you know, any other your other supporters that happen to go there, I just think it's great. Don't stop what you're doing. It's really a special gift that you have. I love people that start basically from nothing and create a world for themselves. But then they don't get selfish about it. They share it. That's what you've done. That's why you're a beautiful soul. You know exactly
yeah.
what you're about. And you are a beautiful soul. And you spread this. You want to share everything. You want to show them the right way. No, this is not the path you go on because this is not right. You go on this path. Follow me.
Yeah.
It's like you've got this light with you and you
the
say,
torch.
Follow me.
You know,
me.
You are so intuitive because that's exactly what we say in some of our literature, that we help them carry the torch for a while, you know, because they can't yet carry
mm-hmm.
it for themselves. But that's
mm-hmm.
really part of our message, that their past does not have to be their future. And I like working with this age. You know, regardless of the country, the brain, you know, the plasticity of the brain between 18 and 25 is still there. You can still mold them even if they're past was dramatic and disadvantaged and hurtful and perilous, there is still the opportunity for change. The habits are not so deeply ingrained that they are set for life. And it's such an exciting opportunity to be able to just touch them with a magic wand, I'm saying, in quotation marks.
Yeah,
but
really,
to touch them and to help transform. And the majority of them, you know, they transform 180 degrees. And it's possible in every country, because I know there's plenty of suffering here, too, with competition and expectation and all sort of temptations and things. But
yep.
So much
exactly.
can happen. Yeah, I know my life changed so much during the 18 to 25 period, and I chose it as a time in their lives where we can intervene in a very positive and profound way and set them on a different trajectory. So
now, how do they?
Very exciting.
How do they have to come in with a scholarship? How do they come into this? I mean, the children
okay,
there.
Okay, so I want
people,
to clarify that. So they all go to college in Romania, so we pay for their school there. And we work with the Ministry of Labor there. Somehow Child Protective Services is under them. And they send a letter out to all the 40 regions in Romania every summer, and they tell us, they tell them about our program. And so theoretically, every child who's abandoned and part of the system should know about our program. So usually at the end of 12th grade, the Child Protective Services tells them about us, and then they apply for our scholarship. And we interview each and every applicant, and we're actually in the midst of doing that now. School doesn't start until
October
1st.
What do you look for when you get somebody's application? I mean, are there specifics you want to see if they've
got
goals?
It's a lengthy application, but if I was to say it in very succinctly, our ideal student has had the most awful traumatic past and the highest academic potential. Like, that's the ideal student, right? That's who we want to help and spend money on. But of course, on each there's a continuum. Some of the stories are still sad, but not as sad as others. And some of the students show academic potential, but they don't seem like, you know, off the charts. So then you sort of looking at how much money you have for the year and knowing that you do have to say no to some and draw the line, you sort of, you know, we have a whole committee, and we have criteria on how sad the story, what's their academic potential. We look at recommendations. We look at they have to write a whole page of motivation, like why do they want the scholarship. And we really go through all the details of their very small and finances, and to see if they have any kind of emotional, spiritual support from anybody else. And so based on all that criteria, we give them points, and then we compare. And then sometimes we argue. Our committee argues for one kid or the next.
Of course.
Of who's a better fit, you know, just because
right.
we can't say yes to everybody.
You can only
and
take
then,
so many. You can't take them
all,
right?
Yeah, we have about 100 at any given moment in under our wing. So 100, you know, in Romania and Moldova, boys and girls. More girls than boys, for whatever reason. I think there's a tendency, maybe more recently, for the girls, it seems like they're very studious, and we have at least 60% girls, I would say. And it's not because we choose more girls. A lot more girls apply. So that's interesting.
Right. Well, they want to go beyond with their education. They want to do their education. They have goals. I'm assuming they have some kind of goals. Even if they don't think they do, they do.
Oh,
they do.
You
know,
we go.
It's like, you know, I really, you know, this is a great opportunity for me. I've always wanted to do this, or, to do studies in this. And you open that door for them if they get accepted. And does it ever happen that you make a decision on somebody and they don't work out?
Yes, I would say maybe 5 to 7% don't work out for whatever reason. You know, there's
right.
Life is unpredictable and we can't control everything.
No.
So we have those cases too, but you know, I think there's a much higher percentage here. You know, kids, you know, things happen. There's health issues. Some may end up in another European country doing, I don't know, menial work, but they decide they want to work. Whatever, they drop out, whatever it may be. But it's not that bad. It's about 5% or so. So
I don't think that's bad at all.
Yeah. Yeah, we're pretty pleased overall.
That's really good. But, you know, do you ever, like, maybe somebody gets your attention and you actually follow, not don't follow them, but follow how they're doing? Do you ever get that close to any one of the students that, like, maybe a young girl that has such great potential and you want to make sure that she stays on track? And it's probably difficult in a country like that, because I think a lot of things are now probably not in the open. They are better than when you were there, obviously. But do you ever kind of latch on to one of them and kind of be like their little angel? I can see you doing that. Usually.
You know what? I try to be very careful because they are so sensitive. Yeah. They're just like in a family where if they feel, I mean, I would say more than that, because they really always had to compete for attention and for an edge at the orphanage. And I would feel so bad to, in some way, cultivate that kind of a pattern.
Yeah, it would hurt them if they would see you paying attention
if
to one and they didn't get... Exactly. Yeah.
But,
yeah, well,
so I'm very careful. I'll be honest. Sometimes I really feel like I really identify with a certain girl or my heart really goes out. I remember this one year... One of the boys, he had had a hard year, in part because of his own doing, and in part it was just hard. And then he wrote his journal. He sent it a little too late, and, you know, we penalize them and don't send their monthly stipend if they're, you know, they're too late. So he wasn't going to get that either. But I felt so bad. It was the holidays, and he circled back to see if we received his journal. And so I really fell for it, and I told the program director, I said, look, I want to give him some money, but I don't want to give it just to him, and I don't want him to know it's from me. So I said, I'm going to send money for five students from my own money who I think could benefit the most at this particular Christmas time. It was more symbolic. It wasn't a huge amount. But I said, give him some too. But I didn't want to tell him to know who it was from, and I didn't want him to be the only one. So maybe once or twice I did something like that. You have to be very careful because they're very sensitive and you can do more damage, you know, by showing too much care for one.
Exactly. You have to be also careful because, you know, I'm sure your presence means something to them when you come, like, in the summertime. Because they know who you are, right? And it means something. And then now I'm going to go back a bit here. You actually trained to be a gymnast. Is that right?
Well, I trained for 2 years, so third and fourth grade, I was, my parents asked me if I wanted to, and I said yes, and I was very coordinated and talented, and so I went to Onesht, which was where Nadia Comăneci trained. Of course, she's about, 8 years older than me. So I would say, even though I grew up in a loving family with loving parents, having had the experience at the gymnastics school, which was 300 miles away, and, you know, when you're 9 years old and you're 300 miles away and live at boarding school, I remember how hard I sobbed the first few months, and I felt so alone, and I told myself I'll never forget how scary and lonely and hurtful this feels. And I think I identify myself with that abandoned archetype, and that's in part why I understand the drama, even though for me it was a little painful, but it was, you know, I had loving parents and loving grandparents, and I was coming home for the holidays, and I only stayed 2 years, but these kids have had so little stability and many of them never met their parents, and many of them were in very abusive home situations, even if they had parents for a few years of their lives. So it doesn't compare in any way, except that I had enough of an experience of being alone and far away that I felt abandoned. So I identify with that archetype. And it was an interesting time to be at gymnastics school because it was right after the Montreal Olympics, and all these American and Canadian TV and film crews would come to interview Nadia and the Olympic lot.
I remember her very well. As soon as I saw her name, I couldn't believe it. I said, I got to ask her about that.
Everybody knows her. If there was one place of the entire country, entire boring beige and gray country that one should have been, it was there, and I was there. So it was very exciting to be in a place that for a year or so was buzzing with activity from the West. And, we trained very hard. I was very young and training 3-4 hours every day on top of school. It was just real discipline. I'm happy I didn't do it for longer. I think it's really not the life of a child should have.
It's grueling. Very disciplined. I mean, these are the rules. You have to do this. And, you know, even to go far like she did, I mean, the discipline in her life and to see that in front of her all the time, this is what I want to do. I mean, that takes an awful lot of inner strength to me. I've changed my mind. I don't want to do this. That's focus. That's really focus.
Yeah.
But you see what you've done.
That young
you
and that focus.
Yeah, exactly.
Not me, her, you know.
Yeah, but to be trained that young, and they're all over. They're all over the world like that. See them all the time when you do anything, even if it's like the tennis, the U.S. Open. They're so disciplined. That's the only things in front of them. And I know just because tennis is in my background, and I remember something, and I'm just relating this because of her, not to interrupt because of you, but I remember Chris Evert, who's my idol, saying, you know, I won all these tournaments. I'd come out with this big, huge trophy, and I'd walk to the locker room by myself. I've never felt so alone in my life. And that's what she did from when she was four or five, whatever. And, you know, you think about anybody who has careers like that. That takes dedication and focus. And you can't see anything else but what's in front of you. And I mean anything else. You can't be sidetracked because then you're going to lose. You're going to lose that focus. So, that's an honor. But it's great what you did, but that was not your calling.
It was not,
you have
my trajectory was perfect the way it was, really. I didn't
any
more than
that. Like I said, you're just, like I keep saying, a beautiful soul. You're very tender, you're very kind, you're very sweet. I mean, you almost remind me of this beautiful flower or a beautiful butterfly, but you have changed so many lives. And I don't want you to stop what you're doing. You have to continue on and know that you're doing a great job. I know because of all the people that I deal with and encounter, anybody who does something like this, you live in California and all of that, but still, that doesn't matter. You know where you came from, and you know who you are. And to me, that's really important. And that's why your children are probably great, too, because of you. What does your husband do?
Well, he's a businessman, and then he also has a career as a film producer. He's made these nonverbal films that were shot all over the world, and they have, I guess they sort of have a following from the spiritual community, too, and beyond. But they are wonderful movies about our about life on the planet, really.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Wait a minute, I gotta extend this just a bit. Hold on. Okay. I've done it. I just put in a little bit more time because I don't want to be rushed at the end with you. But we talked more than we probably thought as soon as I heard your voice I thought, I'm gonna be talking for an hour with her. It's easy. She's some interviews are not that easy. Some interviews you have to kind of pull things out. I've been fortunate. I don't really have those kind because I let the publicist send them to me, and they choose who they feel will, first of all, really like me and want to do it, like Dia, your publicist.
Yes.
I have other ones that do it, and it's I just knew it was going to be great, and I thank you so much for coming on the show, and I want to remind everybody, go see the site. I like to push the site. You go to blueheronfoundation.org, and you'll see all the tabs at the top. You can, you know, contact, news, supporters, what we do, who we are, and the home. And just read about Stefania, because she has really helped to mold a lot of lives, and I hope you know that. You do know that, don't you? Yes, she does. And I want to thank Candy for being in the chat room. And, yes, Candy, I'm going to run this thing about our contest again. And she's reminding me we're in line for this hurricane, which I talked about before you came on the air. But I don't know where it's going to go yet. You know, where I am, we're still okay. So, you know, but it's you have what? You have earthquakes. Hawaii has volcanoes.
Yes.
I mean, it just seems like it's always something. Fires, mudslides. That's right. Now, you live in the heart of Los Angeles, or are you on the outskirts?
Yeah,
because I know there's a lot of little places.
West Hollywood Hills, so it's sort of in the heart of it.
Yeah, I've only been to California once, but you know, Dia's out there also, and she said, you know, she said we could have a wonderful party if you ever come out here. Just think of all these authors that you've interviewed. They could all meet
yes.
you. You can meet them.
Don't forget
that,
to call me.
I will, but you know. I probably wouldn't have a voice. Yes, I will tell you. I will let you know. Trust me, if
Bring
I ever
microphone.
Get out that way. Dia will set it up, because there's so many of them that I've interviewed, almost all of them from Los Angeles.
A lot of us end up here. The City of Angels calls us.
That's the hub for the talent. If you have a talent of or any kind of creativity, that's where you go. But I'm here in South Carolina doing what I do, and I love what I do. And maybe we'll have you on again sometime. I would love that.
I would love to, Natalie. This has been a great opportunity and such an honor. Thank you so much for.
No, it's my honor, because I know who you are. I know what you are, and I appreciate what you said about me. I just do what I do, and I love what I do, and I promote. Now, tomorrow I will have on my blog what we talked about and a link back to your site and a link to the show link. This will also go out at the end when I end the show. It'll go out to Twitter, then it goes to Facebook. And then we'll put it on Instagram, and Candy that's in the chat room, she blasts it everywhere. She's, you know, you give her, sometimes you give somebody something, you've probably encountered this, you give them something and they just run with it. And pretty soon you can't even find them anymore. They've run so far. And that's exactly what she does.
My book is on Amazon, so Searching for the White Magician is on Amazon.
Can you, it's not on your Blue Heron, right? Of course you wouldn't have it
there,
right?
No, no. So if they go on Amazon and they put my name, Stefania Magotson, and or the title of the book, Searching for the White Magician, it will pop right up.
Yes. Yes. And there you go. You have it from Amazon. Everything is on Amazon, I think, isn't it? Seems to be, right? If you're not on Amazon, you're not anywhere. And I am losing my voice, so I guess I better stop talking, right? But anyways, it's been such an honor. And you can stay on a few minutes. I'm going to remind everybody about the seventh anniversary contest that we're doing. Actually, this was Candy's idea. So I tell you, you plant a seed, and she grows that tree within a day. I mean, she's so quick.
Wow.
You have to send an email, to me. Through the site, you can just do contact us. I get all of that. Or you can do stars with a Z, psychics.com, starscast at starpsychics.com. You can do that. And you, in the subject line, you put 7th anniversary entry. And in the body of the email, you put I enter. And the drawing will be, we're going to do the entries until Tuesday, the September 18th, and we're going to draw on the next week's show, which will probably be, the 25th. So, and you have a chance to win a 15-minute reading. And I don't know how this is going to be with my Candy. I call her my Candy. Anybody that works for me is mine, meaning you can't have them. mastermind, my Jackie, my Candy, you know, and I have 50 people that work for me, and they're all part of my family, my extended family, and but that probably doesn't surprise you. I just cultivate all these people, and I love it. You know, I was thrown into it, but I love it. It wasn't like guided like you. Maybe I was, but I just didn't know it. But anyways, it's a pleasure, and I'll send Dia a message because she was so worried. Oh my gosh, is she okay? I said, don't worry about it. She'll call in, and there you were. You called in just like that.
I'm so glad you contacted me.
But if I ever get to Los Angeles, you know you will be part of that. I will make sure.
I already see us
you.
with a cocktail in our hands. You know, I'm a little psychic too. What do you know?
Walking around, and you'll say, "This is my friend Natalie. I'd like you to meet this one. I'd like you to meet this one." Yeah. Do you do many shows like this?
Well, I've done about 40 interviews because of Dia, and we just finished our 3 months contract, but there's still a few interviews trickling in. So I've done this because of the book that came out a few months ago, but usually I'm not, you know, a regular or, you know, I don't usually do this. This was new for me, and I really enjoyed it. These 3-4 months.
Well, I enjoy it. But she introduced me to you and your work a long time ago because, you know, she's really cute. And I don't know if you know this about her. She might be listening. I don't know. But she, I told her what I was going to do because up until I just started doing interviews in May, right? So I did something else with my dearest friend who passed away in February, and I didn't go on the radio for 3 months. I just couldn't do it. But people encouraged me, and there's a gentleman named Al Diaz. He interviewed me the first week back. Let's interview you. He said, that'll get your feet wet, because he said, you know everything about yourself. And he does interviews with me also. But Dia, she, you know, she's just such a delight. But she said to me, give me the dates, and I'll fill your dance card. I tell everybody that. That's what she says. Now, she says, you have more dates? I got more people. And then she'll say to me, who do you want? Give me some names of who you want. Because, you know, she's out in Los Angeles, and she's also a producer. And I said, we talked on the phone several times. I said, you know, let me just start to climb the ladder. I'm not ready to do, like, a Meryl Streep or anything. You know, I love doing authors. I love doing authors because they have developed something, and usually they came from a place where it was not that easy all the time, although actors and actresses don't always have it that easy. It doesn't just fall in your lap, but she introduced me to you, your name, and your book a long time ago. So you were already in the schedule, it was just a matter of confirming and all that kind of stuff, but yes, definitely, we would walk around with something. Yeah, probably be a margarita because I love margaritas.
It sounds wonderful.
Laughing.
I'm not a big drinker, but I can always enjoy one little glass, and
me
it goes
too.
A really
I'm
long
a
way with
because, yeah, because I'm not. I can't function right when I drink more than one. Isn't that so? I mean, some people can. Not me.
Yeah, I've noticed.
And anyways.
Yeah.
Anyways, thank you for coming on the show. I'm going to send
her
a note
and
tell her
how
lovely. She already knows how lovely you are, but I'm going to tell her that you're a beautiful soul. Make sure she knows that. You take care.
Really appreciate it. And stay safe. I'm praying that the...
I will.
All of that
goes
back into the ocean somewhere.
Yeah, there's such a thing as a power grid, and I'm going to do that. And I think... we're all prepared. My son just lives about 6 miles from me. You know, I already said I got to bring my monitors and I got to bring my tower. That's my business right there sitting on the floor here. Have to bring that. And, you know, all that kind of good stuff. You know, you have to carry your tools with you when you work a business like this because I have the magazine and I have this other site and another site. And I intermingle with all these people that are contacting me and all the authors, all the beautiful people that I've met. I can't even begin to tell you. That I've been so honored and so blessed. And so have a good week. I will stay safe. I'll keep in touch with Dia, and you can always ask her. Now, I think I have your number anyways, even though it doesn't show on the dashboard. So we will be in touch. And,
sounds wonderful. Anytime you want to talk to me again, I'm here. And if not, or also in addition, hopefully I'll see you at a party at Dia's house. She doesn't even know we're planning a party at her house.
Oh, yeah. Well, I talked to everybody that's been from out there. And, you know, there's this gentleman named Chris. There's this other guy. There's several of them. We would have a great, well, it would be great to see everybody and them to see me, and that the voice has a body. They're, she really is somebody, you know. And, it would be fun. I mean, I just think it would be just the best. And we'd be just posting things on Instagram and having a good time, a good bash we would have, yes. Me and my author.
I would love that. I would love that.
Okay, honey. Take care, and I love you, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
Have a wonderful evening. Take good care. Thank you again, Natalie.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that's the end of our show for tonight. Next week I'll be back, unless something were to happen, and I would put on the banner that the show was canceled due to weather, but I'm not anticipating anything. I've already got guests lined up till November, so we'll do this again. Don't forget about our contest, the anniversary thing that we're doing. I'm going to mention it again because I have time, because I extended this. Might as well use it, right? You create an email, go to the site, create a STARS account, open an email. You can just do from contact us if you like. You can do that, and it'll get your email address and everything, and just send an email to me. And in the subject line, put 7th anniversary entry. And in the body, put I enter. And we're going to accept these till Tuesday, September 18th. And I'm sure Candy is grinning from ear to ear because she knows I'm doing this, and she wrote me something about Florence, Hurricane Florence. But I'm going to do my thing, see what I can do to push it back. But I have a lot of energy, so people have told me. But anyways, do the contest. You get a chance to have a 15-minute reading. You must make a purchase, either 10 minutes, or you can do the special. And that's just the only prerequisite. And, you know, I've got so many advisors on there, and I'm really promoting STARS a lot. But it's STARS birthday, and I can do it, and it's mine. And sometimes I'll tell people it's my show, my rules. But I say that in a nice way. But, yeah, it's 7 years, and we've got a lot of good things coming. So, and do go to Stefania's site. That's the blueheronfoundation.org. So with that, we're going to end this. Have a great evening. If you're on the East Coast, be safe. Watch. Look at the TV. Watch. Abide by the rules. And as I always end my show, remember that there are things out there. You must believe in the things that you cannot see, because they really are there. I know, because I'm the proof. Okay, love you, everybody, and see you next Wednesday. Same time, same station, 8 to 9 p.m. Bye-bye.